I want to thank Pastor Aaron for asking me to come and share. Whenever he has asked me, I feel the urge in me to just say yes right away, but I always want to be prayerful about it, and it's always a joy to come and share with you all. You are our brothers and sisters. It's not our church and your church, it's the church, and so I'm just thankful for what the Lord has done. I know I say this or something like this every time I come, but it is a real blessing to have what we have, whether you realize it or not. It's an incredible blessing to have brothers and sisters on the other side of the city and around the country and around the world, people we don't even know. But we're seeing it more and more where the Lord's just bringing his body together. And it's not about, well, I belong to this denomination, I belong to that group. It's people who just love God and are seeking the truth in its fullness coming together. And sometimes we disagree about things, but if we are teachable, as we were just talking about this morning, oh, that's great, thank you. Just something to keep my mouth from getting dry. But I'm just thankful for people who are teachable and just desire to know God and all of his truth. And you know, it's a blessing. So thank you for having me here this morning. And thank you, too, for the body ministry. We call it body ministry at our church. Is that what you called it here? Testimony time, whatever. It is a true blessing. It can be a little scary thing, especially for a pastor and leaders, because you never know what somebody's going to say. And sometimes it's like, okay, let's rein it back in. But it's a risk worth taking when the Spirit of God is present in a church. Because the one who's going to preach or teach is not the only one that the Lord ministers to and speaks things to. And I, as a pastor in our church, or as a preacher, I so much enjoy being ministered to by the body. There's been a great benefit for you all to hear how somebody was struggling with this and the Lord brought them through and did this. Somebody else inevitably is going to relate to that, and it's going to encourage them to stay strong in their faith in the Lord, to be persistent, to keep pressing into God. But as the one preaching, I'll tell you, there have been many times where in a service, whether it's the body ministry, the testimony time, or it's what the songs are that have been chosen, the Lord has used, here this morning, my message has been confirmed. And so it's always a blessing to me. I'm a weak man, and I need the Lord's encouragement. I need his strength. And so he uses the body to do that oftentimes. So if you feel pressed, an impression within you to share, don't hold back. Share it, please. There's somebody in here who needs to hear it. That's why that impression is there. That's why the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do it. So don't be afraid, and don't be afraid to make mistakes. You know, I've made plenty. You could maybe say something and realize, oh, maybe I wasn't supposed to. Just trust the Lord. You're going to grow in him, and if need be, Pastor Aaron will talk to you about it. But don't be afraid, okay? Just be willing to take a step of faith and let the Lord use you. So this morning, I want to talk about confidence in Christ, our confidence in Christ. I'm just going to open in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who enlightens your word to us. God, you've given us the Bible, the scriptures, Lord. God, but apart from you as our teacher, we just can't understand it in its fullness. So Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I ask that you would be here this morning. You already are here this morning. I pray that your anointing would be upon my mouth, Lord, but upon the ears and the hearts of those who are going to hear, whether they're sitting here or they're going to be watching it online at some point, Lord. I just pray that your word would go out, that your truth would go out. This is not me, Lord. This is you. This is all about you. I just pray that you would have your way in this place here this morning. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to encourage you this morning in Christ. I don't want this to be a motivational speech, okay? But I do want to encourage you. I want you to hear a word from the Lord this morning, and I want you to leave emboldened, strengthened, refreshed, confident in Christ, the life of Christ in you. So if you look to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 3, I'll give you a minute to get there. I think they've got, yep, they've got them up on the screen there. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You've probably heard this scripture countless times. People use it all the time. And it is such an encouragement to just the thought that there is nothing that I may encounter. There is nothing that I may face. There is no challenge, no hurdle, no trial, no difficulty that I'm going to encounter that I can't get through, and not just get through, but to overcome and to be a conqueror in it. Why? Not because of my goodness, not because of my ability, not because I have memorized the scripture so well, not because I just have all my ducks in a row, but because of Christ in me, the Spirit of God in me. It is just a fact that we are weak. We are weak people. This flesh is weak. We start out, the minute we're born, we're in corrupt flesh. It's all been corrupted. And we need a Savior. We need Christ. We need the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within us. And we never want to put confidence in the flesh. We have things we're good at. I have my strengths, my talents, natural abilities that I'm good at, and I can become prideful in that, and I can lean upon that. That's not what we want to do. We don't want to look to ourselves in any way. But the power of Christ in us, when we get born again, when the Spirit of God comes to live within us, it's that power, that source that we draw upon now, that we live by, that we lean wholly upon. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27 talks about how God puts his Spirit within us and he gives us a new heart and he causes us to walk in his statutes, to walk in his ways. So if you've been born again here, have you been born again? That's the first question. I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but this is the thing you need to ask yourself. You need to know this. This is not a thing of I've been raised in the church and I've been taught this and I do this and I don't do that. That's not enough. You need to know that you've been born again, that this is a spiritual thing that has happened within you where you have looked to God in repentance and asked him to forgive him, asked him to come into your life. This is a spiritual birth that happens. If you're not sure, if you don't know, then today is the day to know. Don't play any longer. Don't drag this out. Your religious know-how is never going to be good enough. It's Jesus. It's salvation. He saves us. All you have to do is ask. All you have to do is say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Come. Take control of my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. It's saved by grace through faith. Nothing else. No works. No amount of religious duty. Know that today, okay? But then, when you're born again, now we walk in newness of life. We've got all this new life in us. We no longer desire these things that we once did. Now we want to live holy. And we start to have these new desires in us. And we start to find the ability to do it. It's all because of the power of God in us. But there's always going to be that temptation to get confident in the flesh again. The flesh is always there, ready to rise up and take over. Hey, I got this figured out. I can do this. But we never, ever want to put confidence in our flesh. What is our confidence in? It can't be our abilities. It can't be our wisdom, our skills, our knowledge. Nothing but Jesus. Amen. Now, you may have some abilities that God has given you, and the Lord might use those in ways. He might use some of these things that you're skilled in, things you've learned. Hey, I worked in management for years. The Lord is using some of those things that I've learned as a pastor now. But my hope is not in my management experience and learning in that. It's always in Christ. We must be confident that we know him and that we hear him, that we know Jesus intimately. You know, you can know him in such a deep way that you hear him speaking to you. Of course, when you read the Bible, every time you read the Bible, I mean, this is Christ. That's right. He's speaking to you. But beyond that, not outside of it, but in your own life personally, when you seek the Lord, when you're praying, when you're just living life, if you've got a mind and a heart turned towards God, he's going to speak to you. You know, the world will make fun of you for saying, oh, I hear from God. God speaks to me, right? Well, God can speak to you. You can know him in such a way. You need to be confident in his promises. Do you know his promises? How are you going to find out his promises? The word of God. Read your Bible. Know the truth. Confident in the truth that he's spoken. If he says it in here, no matter how hard it is to believe, it's true. There is no question. There is no gray area. It's fact. It's truth. There's no getting around it. But so often, we get so shaken and so fearful, and the doubts come in, and it's like, oh, I don't know. I mean, that was good for them. I don't know if it's going to apply to me. That seems pretty hard to believe. Is God really my healer? Is God really my provider? Is he?
Yes.
Amen. Paul says in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. So we need to understand that there is nothing good in this flesh. I don't bring anything to the table other than my faith in Christ. I thank God that he's given each one of us a measure of faith, because if he hadn't, we wouldn't even have that. We have nothing to bring to the table except the faith that he gave to us to turn it back to him. But we can't just live in that spot as Christians. We can't just stay there. There's like a death, so to speak, where I recognize there's nothing good here. Now, you can just stay there and you can mope all day long and you're nothing and you have no confidence and it's just, oh, you know, I'm just this worm that there's nothing any good can ever come out of this life. Well, that's just not true if you're a child of God. The thing about Paul, he says this in Romans 7:18, that nothing good is in his flesh. And yet, if you read his letters to the churches, I think just about every one of his letters in the New Testament, read the openings. I am an apostle called by God, not by men. I am confident in what God has put me in. He took me, this wretched man who's running around hunting down Christians and putting them to death, and he's turned me around, he saved me, and now he's put me in this position as an apostle. And I don't care what you say about it or what anybody else says about it, I know that God put me here. And I am confident in the life of Christ in me to do that, to be that, to be used by that until he's done with me. Amen. When it's just telling my wife Kim this morning, it's funny to me, not funny, it's just interesting to me. The Lord put this message on my heart for you here at Exano. Because just a few months ago, I had to really wrestle through some of this stuff. Pastor Lee Shipp was here, I'm sure some of you remember. There was a real issue in my life where I just was not confident in the Lord in many ways because I was overwhelmed with fear and doubt. I was frustrated. Why, God, can I get up and preach and teach with confidence, but I can't get through the day without confidence in you? I'm afraid of making the wrong decision. I'm afraid of doing the wrong thing. I'm afraid of saying the wrong thing. What is the deal? I had to be confident. I have to be confident in God's call on my life. Certainly. When the time came for me to quit my job and to take a step of faith into full-time ministry, I had to be confident that I'd heard from the Lord. I have to be confident in what I preach and teach, whether it's to you or at my church or wherever. I have to know that I've heard from God. I have to be confident in that. Otherwise, I can never come with boldness, with confidence to share it with you. I have to be confident. I had to be confident when I was parenting my children as they were growing. I had to be confident as a husband to my wife, right? All these things. And yet, I find myself, I've been saved for all these years. I go through all these different things. The Lord's called me into ministry. I've raised my family. I've been married for 27 years. And here I am struggling with the most simple things in life because I'm afraid. I've got all this anxiety, this doubt, this fear coming in. There had to come a point where I just realized, where I understood that God's promises are true, not just for the ministry, not just for the big things, but for all of the everyday little things. Every decision I'm going to make as I walk my life, as I walk daily with the Lord. And that if I make a mistake, don't be afraid to make a mistake. Take a step of faith. Psalm 37 talks about the steps of a righteous man being ordered of the Lord. And that if he falls, he's not going to be cast out. God's not done with him. The Lord is going to pick him up.
Hallelujah.
We don't have to walk in fear. We can take steps of faith knowing that our God goes before us, that our God is with us. He dwells within us. It is us in him and he in us. We can be in lockstep with him. You can have that kind of confidence. Am I saying we always do it? Of course not. We make mistakes. We stumble. We fall sometimes. But your God, your Father in heaven, he knows your weakness. He already knew that was going to happen, and he's ready to pick you up. He's ready to reach out a hand and pull you up and dust you off and keep on walking with you. Sometimes there's going to be correction. Sometimes there's going to be difficulties you go through, some consequences. But your God has not forsaken you. He is with you. He is going to keep walking with you. And if you know that and if you believe that, it's going to just strengthen you from within.
Amen.
It's going to give you boldness. You're not going to be I'm telling you, I was such a weak, wimpy, that's how much it affected me. It affected my marriage. It affected my family home at times. My wife would say to me many times, you know, you set the tone for this household. When you come in here cranky, everybody gets cranky. When you're depressed, everybody's depressed. This was a real powerful thing that was happening in my home, and the Lord had to set me free from it. I had no confidence, not in myself. I mean, believe me, I'm like the king of self-deprecation. I can false humility you under the table. It's just been my life. But that's just based in pride. You know why? Because you're just looking at yourself all the time.
Right.
You're just looking to yourself. I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. I don't do this right. I don't do that right. I did that again. All I'm ever doing is me. The Lord wants us to turn our eyes upon him.
Amen.
And look to him.
Yes.
Yeah, you're weak. I know. I have everything you need. Look at me instead of looking at yourself. You got to be confident in your salvation. Again, are you certain you've been born again? This morning, I'm telling you, you know, you come to these altars if you don't know that you're born again, you come to these altars and we're going to pray with you if you want to be sure. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait.
Amen.
You got to be confident in God's love. He loves you. Do you know he loves you? Do you believe he loves you? Do you think he likes you? I've heard people say, well, God loves me, God's love, so he has to love me, but I don't think he really likes me. You know, he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you intimately. Adam walked with God in the garden every single day. That's why it was such a shock. Adam, where are you? Of course, God knew. But he wanted his relationship with his creation. He wants that with you. He loves you that much. He's not a distant, faraway God who's angry and looking for a reason to bonk you on the head, to swat you one because you're so rotten and evil. He just wants you to humble yourself before him and walk with him. You got to be confident in God's grace. It's like God has just vast reservoirs of grace that he's waiting to pour down into your life if you'll just humble yourself before him. If, you know, scripture says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It says actually in James, but God gives more grace. He's waiting. I have it. I want to give it to you. Humble yourself. Cry out to me in your weakness. I know you're weak. Scripture says, the Psalms say that God knows our frame. This frame is weak. I am in need. I need his grace every day. I need as much of his grace as I can get. And it's not this weak, pathetic, shallow grace that much of the church world preaches, where it's you can sin and you're good. God's gracious. No, it's grace to make you what he wants you to be. Grace to make you more than a conqueror, to overcome, to walk victorious, to have the joy of God, to have peace, to have rest. All the things that he's promised, all the things he wants to give you, that is God's grace extended to you into your life. And humility is the gateway, the doorway in which he will pour it in. You have to be confident in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Do you know, do you understand that when you're born again, the Spirit of God comes and lives within you? You have God in you. You have got God in your life. It's a miracle that we don't just blow to bits, because, I mean, just think of the magnitude of that. But now the power of God is in you. Do you believe that? Do you know it? Are you confident in it? If you're not, you're going to walk a weak, powerless, victoryless, wimpy, hiding life. Or you're going to walk around all puffed up and prideful because look how good I can do. You will need to know that you know God. You know his voice. You know his will. You got to know that you have his mind and his heart. Read Philippians. Over and over again, it talks about having one mind, the mind of Christ. We need to have the mind of God in us, the mind and heart of Christ within us. And you got to be confident that you have it. As you walk with him, as you read your word, as you spend time in prayer, as you're in fellowship with the body, as you're sitting under teaching and preaching and going through discipleship, all these things should be growing in you. Your confidence in knowing him and knowing his will, knowing his mind, knowing his heart. If you know that, then you can walk confidently in the love and grace of God. You can walk boldly. And if I make a mistake, I know that I can look to my Father and I can ask forgiveness. I can repent. I can be restored. It's like my grandbabies, when they're starting to walk and they fall down. What's wrong with you for falling down? No, let me help you up. Let me be gracious to you and merciful to you and help you to walk. Let me hold your hands as you take those steps. Let me guide you. That's your heavenly Father who loves you. He's not saying, here's the rules, do them. He's saying, here's what I want, here's the standard, and here's the help to do it. Here's the ability to do it. Let me take hold of your hands. Let me lift you up. Let me hold you. Let me guide you. To find that water. There's going to be things in your life that it's just designed to shake your confidence in God. We live in a corrupt world. I mean, the news yesterday, I guarantee you there's going to be some shaken people. And they look at how easy it was for that to happen. When you're supposed to have the world's greatest security protecting, and this still could happen. How could this happen? Because we live in an evil, corrupt world. You're going to go through various things. People alone. Unsaved family, friends, acquaintances, coworkers, Christians. They're going to do things, they're going to say things that are going to shake this confidence in you. You got to know that you know God. You got to know that you know his voice, that you're hearing from him. Otherwise, people, things, stuff is just going to happen and it's going to shake your faith. You better be firmly on Christ. Because shaking's going to come. You're going to endure shaking. It's just going to happen. Scripture tells us that everything will be shaken, and those things that can be shaken will be shaken away. But will you be confident in your relationship with Christ? Will you be firmly planted on the rock that is Jesus?
Amen.
So that when everything else falls away, and I'll tell you, hold loosely onto the things of this life. Let it fall away. If it's to fall away, it needs to fall away. But your faith needs to be strong, unmovable, immovable, unshakable. Look, people are going to say things to you that are hard and discouraging. People are going to point at you and accuse you. They're going to mock and gossip and slander. Your best friends are going to hurt you at times. People are going to tell you how it should be done. Oh, I don't think you heard from God. You can't, nah, that doesn't sound right to me. Now, if you're walking with God and you're confident, you just stay faithful to him. Don't let some person shake you. Now, I'm not saying we don't listen to godly counsel. Sometimes we just don't know and we need to get some counsel or, you know, like, I'm not talking about things, obviously, that are clearly not biblical or against God. But, you know, when it was time for me to quit my job, I just knew that I knew. The Lord showed it to me. And I had some people say, you really think that's what you're supposed to do? I'm like, yep. It was discouraging. It was. But I knew. The Lord showed me, and he confirmed it in my life multiple ways. People are going to tell you how you're doing it wrong. Again, your closest friends are going to hurt you. Look, think of Job. Have you read the book of Job? This guy went through some stuff, right? His friends, such good friends they were, sat there with him and just basically told him what a sinner he was and all these things that God is doing to him because of his sin. They weren't very encouraging. But you're going to encounter this at times. And it's going to shake your faith if you let it. If you give ear to it, if you just, you know, I know how it is. A person's words, they get into your mind and your heart, and you just replay it, and you replay it, and you replay it, and you replay it. And you sit there and you do the thing where you're arguing with this person in your mind. It's not even happening in real life. You got this whole scenario played out of how if they say this, I'll say that, and all these things. All you're doing is you're turning your mind, your heart towards what I'm going to do if this, then that, as opposed to just looking to God, having your hope and your confidence in him, knowing that he loves you and trusting in him. When you cover them with love, sometimes they're going to stab you in the back. When you protect their reputation, they'll tear you down. Sometimes, maybe oftentimes, you just have to be the sacrificial lamb. These things are going to be, again, they're going to be designed to the devil. He wants to tear you down. He wants to undermine your faith. He wants to make you fearful and full of anxiety. But what did Joseph say to his brothers in Egypt? He said, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. What the devil wants to use to tear you down and to destroy you, God is going to use to strengthen your faith. God is going to use to be a testimony to others who are watching. Somebody that you don't even know is watching you and saying to myself, how are they getting through that right now? It can only be the power of God. What the devil intended for evil, God intends to use for good, for his glory, for your good, for somebody else's good. Who knows? But be willing to be the sacrificial lamb. Jesus was. He stood before his accusers and didn't say a word. He could have defended himself easily. How many times do you find yourself in a situation where someone is just coming at you and they're saying all these things and they're stabbing you in the back and all you want to do is, I just gotta defend myself. I gotta go to bat. I got to protect myself. This is wrong. I got to, the truth has to be known. Sometimes the Lord wants you to just be quiet and wait upon him. Amen. Seek him. Be willing to be the lamb before the slaughter. Amen. Because there's a purpose in it. Yes. Sometimes you need to go through those things. These things that would shake your faith and your confidence in the Lord. Sometimes the Lord wants you to go through it because he wants you to learn something so you can be compassionate to another person. When somebody else is being run over, being thrown under the bus, when their reputation's being destroyed, to be able to minister healing balm to that person, to be able to love them. Again, body ministry. If I share with you some difficulty I'm going through and I'm seeking the Lord for it, and then he delivers, he heals, he provides, there's another person who listened to that, and that's like a healing balm to them, to help them, to know if even if they're in the middle of it and they haven't gotten the answer yet, to know that there's an answer, that there's somebody who will answer. There's a God in heaven who loves them, a Father in heaven. God is our master. He is our Lord. All these powerful terms, but he's your Father. Know that. If you've been born again, you're a child of God. He is your Father, a loving Father who loves his children, who intends good for them. Even if you're in the midst of bad, there is good intended for you. When you are wronged terribly, what will you do? Will you march off to strike back, to deal that death blow, to get your vengeance? God says vengeance is his. We leave it up to him. David in 1 Samuel 25, he's on his way to go kill Nabal. And thank God for a godly woman who got in the middle of that, intervened, and detoured him from his intention to kill that man. God dealt with it. How often, though, are we on the march? I'm going to go take them out. I'm going to give them what they deserve. They earn this. They stab me in the back. I'm going to cut them down for it. Let's be honest. Be honest about your attitude. We would never do it physically, but in our hearts, in our minds, with our words, we commit character assassination. We tear them down. They hurt me. Now I'm going to hurt them. They burn me. Now I'm going to burn you down. That's just flesh. That's just human nature. God wants that. He wants to take that from us. But if you're confident in the Lord, if you're confident that I couldn't be here unless he put me here, allowed me to be here, if you're confident that he has a purpose, then you can take these blows. You can take you can have 20 knives in your back. Amen. And you'll be strong. You'll have the shield of faith to deflect those arrows as they come in. Will you yield to God? Will you pray for their good, these ones that hate you, that speak evil of you, that are discouraging you? Will you pray for them? Will you pray for, not God, change that wretched sinner, but God, reveal yourself to them. Pray good for them. We got praying our will down pretty well. Would you pray God's will for them? That they would know him? Would you pray that the Holy Spirit would cut their heart with conviction and lead them to repentance, true repentance? Are you even confident that the Holy Spirit will? Will you take your eyes off yourself for a moment and put them on to the heart of God? What's the heart of God for that person? I appreciate your words this morning, Pastor, about Donald Trump and that you prayed for President Biden. Because I had the thought this morning, oh man, I got some strong thoughts about our president, okay? But after this happened last night, I had the thought this morning, would I pray for President Biden the way I do for Donald Trump? Because Trump's on my side of things, right? Well, the believer is to not be on a political side. Our kingdom is, our focus should be on the heavenly kingdom, right? It's just that I tend to vote conservative because they tend to support things that I do. But you know what? Conservatives are just as wretchedly sinful and in need of a savior as any liberal, okay? We got to stop, like, waiting. Well, they're better than them, and they're better. Like, we're all lost and on our way to hell apart from Christ. I don't care how good or bad you are. But so often, I just hate what I see happening in our nation and in the world. And we live in a system where we can vote, and it's like you start to have these all these negative feelings about this group over here that's on this side of things, and like they're just all evil. Like, do I ever pray for them? Do I love them? Is the love of God in me for them? I'm sorry, I got off on a tangent there. Look, the devil, he's going to come against you. And there's no question about this. If anybody told you that when you get saved, life is just going to be easy, you were sold a bill of goods. The reality is, if you're truly born again, the devil's got more reason to hate you now than ever. He's got more reason to come against you and to try to take you out. And if he can't take you to hell, he's going to at least make you ineffective if he can. So you're going to have all kinds of adversity from the devil. And you know what? He's going to use the word of God. He did it with Jesus in the wilderness. He used the word of God against him. He's going to use the word of God against you. He's going to take scriptures that you've read out of context, partial scriptures, and use them to bring condemnation upon you, to heap condemnation. You are such a sinner. You're never going to get this right. You did that again. How could you do that again? God, he was so good, and he gave you his only son who died for you, and you sinned again? You're a failure. You'll never do it. You'll never be good enough. You just keep doing this thing. You're a loser. God doesn't love you. Sinned too many times. Those promises, they sound good, but that's for other good Christians, not for you. You'll never get victory. You'll never please God. He's going to come at you with lie after lie, after half-truth, after deception, after discouragement. He's just going to heap it on you. There's going to be times where you feel like it's just this massive burden weighing you down. You got to be confident in the Lord. You got to know his promises. You got to believe them. You got to choose to think on those things and to go to God, to look to him in the moment of intense persecution and condemnation. Turn your eyes towards heaven and cry out to God. Lift up your voice. Read the promises in the word. Turn your mind towards God. Lift up your voice in praise. Get to a brother or a sister. Call. Ask for prayer. Fellowship. All these things, all these weapons that God has given us to use. Employ every one of them. When he's coming at you, those are the fiery darts we're talking about. He's just throwing them and throwing them and throwing them. What are we doing? Oh, I got a shield there. But we're up here dancing, trying to get around them, wearing ourselves out when we could just pick up the shield. Nope. It's my shield of faith. I know my faith is in Christ. I know his promises. I know what he's done. I know that I can look to him. I know that if I fall, I can cry out to him. I know that if, like Peter, when I step out of the boat and I take a step of faith and I'm doing great until I start looking to the left and the right and I start sinking, I know that I can call out to Jesus and he'll be right there to grab me and pull me up. Yeah. And yeah, Jesus rebuked him. Jesus, he taught him, but it was with such a love and a tenderness. But what do? We're dancing around trying to dodge the arrows. Or we start to sink, and instead of crying out to Jesus, we're looking for a piece of driftwood to hold on to and keep ourselves above water as we're choking and sputtering on the water and the waves that are coming at us. Instead of crying out to the very one who can give us everything we need to overcome, to lift us out. You know, Satan's going to use other people too. I already talked about how people will discourage you, but you know, what did Jesus say to Peter when Peter forbade Jesus? You know, Jesus is talking about going to die, and Peter's like, no, never. He's going to teach Jesus something, right? Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. One of his own disciples, his chief disciple, he's saying, get behind me, Satan, because the devil is using a believer who is not mindful of the will of God to try to prevent something that Christ intended, that was intended from the very beginning. Sometimes your brothers and sisters are going to be well-meaning, but they're not hearing from the Lord. You have to be confident in the Lord. They don't know the relationship you have with God. They don't know the conversations you have with God. You have to be confident in your walk with the Lord. And then there's our flesh, our good old flesh that's always wanting to rise up and brings its own version of discouragement. Just know that there's no rehabilitation for your flesh. There's one solution: death. It needs to be dealt a death blow. And sometimes, you're going to experience this many times in your life where that flesh rises up again. You got to take the sword of the Spirit and run that thing through. It can't be taught to be better. It's the classic spirit versus the flesh. You read Galatians, particularly Galatians 5. The spirit and the flesh, this war of the spirit and the flesh. What does it tell us? What does Scripture tell us? That if you will be led of the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, that old fleshly desire for some of us, where we get so stuck in self-pity and like, oh, I'm so bad and woe is me. I say this because this is me, okay? This is what I am in the flesh. I know it well. That's a fleshly desire. There's a weird, perverse comfort that can come in thinking that way and indulging false humility. That is a fleshly desire that you want, that needs to be put to death, because that is not the mind of God. The mind of God is to know that, yes, I am weak, but you're strong, so I'm going to lean on you, I'm going to wait upon you, I'm going to hear you, and I'm going to follow you, I'm going to obey you. That's the Spirit of God leading us. If you'll follow the Spirit of God, if you'll be led of the Spirit, you'll do pretty good against the flesh, not you might do all right, you'll get better. No, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a promise. You got to know that promise. You got to believe that promise. Otherwise, you are going to falter and fail and be tossed about constantly. Listen, you can do this. Not you, as in the flesh, but you in the Spirit. Are you born again? Do you understand the importance of knowing you're born again? It's the Holy Spirit that comes to live in you, that is doing this work that you are following, that you are being led by, that you are being empowered by. If you don't know you're born again, you don't have a hope. You got to be born again. The Spirit of God has to dwell in you. Your religion that you've grown up in for 50, 60, 70 years, whatever it is, will never be enough. The best you can produce is something that looks good outside, but is full of death inside. Jesus told the Pharisees, "You are whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. What good is there in that? So what if people look at you and think, what a nice person?" If you don't have the life of God in you, you're worse off. The born-again believer possesses all that is necessary to live perfect. Now, I know that'll rub some people the wrong way. Oh, well, nobody's perfect. I know. I'm not saying every moment of my life I'm living perfect, but the Spirit of God in me is perfect. He is perfect. You have to know that and believe that. And therefore, since He is perfect and He lives within me, it is possible for me to walk perfectly. I may not do it all the time, but when I am in the Spirit, led of the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, here's the thing. As you grow, as you walk with the Lord, the desire is to realize this more in your life, to walk in it more, to grow in Him more. Here's the thing. Even if you were to walk perfectly from now to the end of it, the fact is you still are in corrupt flesh. It can sin. Okay, we still have free will. And I'm not, we got to be careful here, because I'm not saying that you've received like a glorified body and you're perfect now, but the Spirit of God in you is perfect. And he's going to enable you to walk perfectly. You're going to find yourself in situations where normally you might just explode or you might just completely cave in, but you find a strength within you to walk perfectly in that situation, to walk that out perfectly, to fulfill the will of God. That's possible. Do you believe that's possible? Holy Spirit, who lives in you, desires to think and do right. The flesh desires to think and do evil. What are you going to choose to live according to? You can live a holy and righteous life because the Spirit of God lives in you. He is holy and righteous. He desires to live holy and righteous through you, and he will live holy and righteous through you if you will just yield to him and obey him. Surrender to him and lay hold of him. So these weapons of our warfare that I mentioned earlier, we've been given such great weapons. It's like, okay, this sounds great. How do I do this? How do I live this out? How do I become this? Well, the Spirit of God has given us wonderful things. First of all, again, the written word of God. We have promises of God. There are principles, godly principles, that if you put them into play in your life, they work. Now, we can't live by principles alone. But the Holy Spirit is going to take these things that you read, he's going to enact them in your life, he's going to begin to show you to really understand them, and as you live them out in your life, they are just true. You have the armor of God. Do you even know it? Do you know what it is? Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and read about the armor of God. All these different pieces, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. The shield's my favorite one, by the way. We have all these things, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the belt of truth. Thank you. But when you look at these things, the breastplate of righteousness, you know what? That breastplate is this massive plate armor that they would wear that covers all their vital organs to protect them. You read these and you understand them. All of these pieces of the armor of God are attributes of Christ. You're clothed in Jesus. There's the picture again. He's in you. You're in him. Understand these. Believe it. Live it. Be confident because of it. Prayer. You have a direct line of prayer with God. You know that? You could be thrown in a jail cell without the light of day, no Bible, and you know what? The Spirit of God would minister to you if you would just turn your mind towards him and begin to seek him and pray and cry out to him. And here we are in a country with the freedoms that we have to be able to find a Bible pretty much anywhere that sells books, to have it online, to have it on our phones, and we don't read the thing. Come on. Come on. Read your Bible. It is the most basic, fundamental thing that the Lord has given us. But then pray. Talk directly to God. Hear directly from God. Nothing that you hear from the Spirit will ever contradict the Word of God. But you got to know Him personally. You got to know His voice. You know, COVID was just the beginning. There's worse coming. I don't know what it is, but I'm just being prepared for it. This government, it wants to control people, and they're going to do it through fear. This world wants to control you through fear. Watch TV. Don't watch TV. Listen to the news. Don't listen to the news. But you get my point. It's designed to control you with fear. You better know God. You better know the voice of God. And you don't wait until the moment comes where now I'm afraid to start. Start now today. Right. Know him today. Right. So that you can walk confidently tomorrow. Yes. Do you recognize God's voice? You can. Praise God. Give him praise. Worship him. We live a life of worship, but man, oh man, I'm telling you, that life of worship needs to result in an outflow of lifting up your hands, lifting up your voices, and giving praise to God. Some people like to dance and shout and run circles, and I'm not advocating doing anything of the flesh. I'm just saying be free to praise God. If giving God praise leads to you weeping, then weep. If it's lifting up your hands and shouting, then do it. Don't worry about who's next to you, who's behind you, who's watching. Be free in the spirit to praise God. If you read 2 Chronicles 20, this is an amazing story. I think it's Judah is under attack. The Ammonites, Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir. And King Jehoshaphat, he's like, I don't know what to do. But in that chapter, he says, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. Okay, good starting point. You're going to encounter things. You're getting attacked and you're getting discouraged. Well, where's my confidence come from? I'm looking up. My guy, eyes are upon you, Lord. Tell me what to do. I'm doing nothing. I'm just going to wait and I'm going to keep looking at you. Right? God gives him direction. I'm going to fight this battle for you. But here's what I want you to do. Get your army lined up. Get them out there. And I want you to take all the worshipers, the ones who praise God, put them in front. Thinking, I want the guys with the swords and the spears and all these things out front, the best warriors, right? But God says, nope, put the worshipers out front. And what is it? What happened? It says that God set ambushes on the enemy. They went out there praising God. I'm going to face warriors who want to kill me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand and praise God. That seems a little counterintuitive. However, that praise of God led to God setting ambushes. These people killed themselves. They turned on one another and they killed each other. Israel never had to lift a sword. They just worshiped God. When the discouragement comes, when the attack comes, whether it's on your mind, the enemy is just saying things to you, or it's that friend or coworker that's coming against you, or life is just hard right now, the first thing we want to do is we want to jump into action. I got to fix this. I got to defend myself. I got to take care of this. Stop and look up to heaven. Cry out to God and give him praise. Worship him. You've been given a body. You have each other. Do you know what a blessing each other you are to each other? Look around you. These are your brothers and sisters. That one, even that one sitting on the other side of the church that irritates you is your brother or sister. Okay? God is a wonderful blessing that God has designed. A body with arms and legs and knees and elbows and pinky toes and fingernails and all different people doing different things where God has put them. And even the smallest, least among us who seems the most insignificant is where they're supposed to be because God has put them there and they're doing what he wants them to do. And you're supposed to be a fellowship where you're building one another up, where you're praying for one another, where you're encouraging one another in the Lord. And sometimes that is a rebuke and a strong word, but when it's done with love, it's done with God's love, it is right. And it encourages and it causes the whole body to be healthy. You got to engage with one another. Are you in each other's lives? Or do you just see each other today, on Sunday? Get in each other's lives. Know your brothers and your sisters. Pray with one another. Talk to one another. Live life together. The body is a beautiful thing. We see how in Exodus 17, Moses, he's holding up his hands as Israel is fighting against Amalek. And as long as his hands are up, Israel's winning. When his hands get tired and he puts them down, there's the praise again. The battle's lost. But we see Aaron and Hur come alongside him. They bring him a rock to sit on. picturing Jesus. Moses is sitting firmly on Christ with his hands up, and his brothers are holding his arms up for him. You need each other. God designed it this way. There are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. We need each other. I need you. You need me. Another good picture of this is the Roman army. They had what was called the testudo, a formation. When they were under attack, those shields that they have, these are not just little round shields. These things are like this tall. They can hide their whole body behind them. They would come together in formation, lock their shields together. The guys in the back, they'd hold their shields above. They'd form an impenetrable shell. Testudo is a tortoise shell. We do that. We ought to do that as brothers and sisters. When one of us is weak and ailing and hurting, they're down on the ground. We come around them. We lock our shields together. We pray over them. We seek the Lord together for them. They're down and they're hurt and they have no confidence right now. We come around them and we pray over them. We lock our confidence in Christ together so that they can be ministered to. And then he's given us preaching and teaching, discipleship. If you look at Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, we see the fivefold ministry. And why is it given? Why is this fivefold ministry given? It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? Just so that we can have services? No, there's a purpose. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I am here now to encourage you. Have confidence in Christ. When Pastor Aaron is up here preaching to you, he is a gift to you. He is a gift given by God to encourage you, to teach you, to edify you, to build you up in Christ. So that you walk out of here more confident in the Lord than you did when you walked in. You are a child of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Spirit of the living God lives within you. Grasp this. Know this. If you don't walk out of here with anything else, know this and believe this, that I am a born-again child of God, and the Spirit of God lives in me. Therefore, I am capable of anything he sets me to do. No doubt. I don't know how it's going to work out. I just know that he's going to make it work out. You have all the resources of God available to you. Think of that. Our God is infinite. He created all of this. And now all of his ability is available to me because he says it. Now, please listen carefully to me. What I'm going to touch on what's a bit of a touchy subject for some people. Please listen and understand what I'm saying here. There's the statement that we're all just sinners saved by grace. Now, it's important that we talk to one another, that we understand and we define our terms. Because I believe every one of us is a sinner that needed to be saved by grace. And now, those of us who are saved and been born again, we are still absolutely dependent on the grace of God. And we do sin. But we are no longer defined as people who practice sinful lives. We are saints of God who have been set free. That doesn't mean that you never sin again. I understand. I battle with the flesh too. Guess what? I sin occasionally. But it is not my practice or my habit to go and practice these sins any longer. I've been set free from that. And if you've been born again, you've been set free from that. Now you got to choose to walk that out and live that. Okay? But here's where I have an issue with the statement. And maybe it's not the statement so much as it is the person saying it. This so often is stated, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. So it's like, oh, it's flippant. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. It's just what I am. I'm just a sinner. Well, no, you've been saved and set free. You've been made a new creation. You've been given the Spirit of God to live in you. If that's going to be your attitude, then why? How are you ever going to be confident in God? You've been given the grace to overcome, to live an overcoming life, to be a more than a conqueror. How are you ever going to be confident to do that if all you ever say is, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. It's like this, woe is me, this is all I am. No, you're something new. You're a new creation. Romans 8:35 through 39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm not just a weak, little, pathetic nothing. My flesh is, but I've got the power of God in me. I am now more than a conqueror. Do I believe that or not? Will I live that or not? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're born again. You're a child of God. You can be confident that apart from you just deciding, I don't want this anymore, there ain't nothing that can take you out of God's love and out of his hand. I don't care what gets done to you. I don't care what gets said about you. I don't care how the enemy lies to you and attacks you. You got to know that I am a child of God and I am in his hand. He loves me. And worship team, if you want to come on up, I'll be finishing this up here. And what's the alternative? Pride? That's no good. Weak, wimpy Christians, full of fear and anxiety, downtrodden, defeated, joyless, restless, peaceless. There are too many Christians living that way. We're supposed to be full of the power of God. We're supposed to be full of the peace and joy of God. Come on. I'm just as guilty as anybody. I just admit it. I'm not preaching this like I got it all 100% figured out in my own life. I'm preaching to myself. Don't get the wrong idea. I struggle just like anybody else. The battle of flesh and spirit is raging in my life just like anybody else. But take the weapons that you've been given and put them to practice. Put them into play. God wants you to believe him. He wants you to trust him. The altars are open here. I'm going to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus, if you're not confident in your salvation, come up here. Let us pray with you. Let us talk through that. Make sure you understand what that's about. It's as simple as putting your faith in Jesus and saying, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I've been dependent on my religion, whatever it might be. But Jesus, I'm coming with repentance. I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to be confident in you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. That's it. With faith. It's not just a prayer that you rattle off and you got your card and now you're good. No. It's in your heart, putting your faith in Christ. If you're somebody who's been saved, but you just find yourself weak and fearful, downtrodden, downcast, you lack peace, it's like, I just feel like I'm never at rest with God, I feel like a failure, I can't do this, I'm constantly dealing with condemnation, whatever it is, I invite you, come, meet with the Lord this morning. Let him reveal himself to you. What I've preached this morning, if the Holy Spirit doesn't pierce your heart and reveal it to you, it's just words to you. It's just more knowledge. The Spirit of God, he wants to make it real to you. He wants to reveal these things to you. God wants you to believe him. He wants you to trust him. God is telling you this morning and every day, I love you. I have everything you need. Every answer, every provision. I know you can't see the full picture, but I can. So I want you to trust me. I know you're afraid. I know you lack confidence. But I'm going to give you what you need. My spirit in you has all that you need. And so much more. Just trust me. I'm glad that you believe in me, but I want you to believe me now. Take me at my word.